The government is trying to reform police departments across the country that show patterns of excessive force. In Oregon, one police officer, reflecting on his interactions with the public, decided to look inward.
You know, I'd leave a radio call thinking to myself, I probably could have been more kind, and really questioning whether or not the abrasive approach was an appropriate response.
Talking about the abrasive approach, that's Richard Gerling with the Hillsborough Police Department outside of Portland. To combat this abrasive approach, he turned to something that sounds like a bit on the comedy show Portlandia, I know. Cops doing yoga and meditation, but it worked for him so well that in 2013 he started training other officers in his department. Gerling told me why police need meditation and mindfulness.
We really weren't looking holistically at the whole person, not only the whole person, but beyond the whole person to the whole landscape that is public safety and how those environments can degrade or erode the human skills like compassion and empathy and self-awareness. And really I started looking at what do professional athletes do and what do elite performers in the military do. And that led me to yoga, and I explored yoga, which led me to sort of accidentally discovering mindfulness meditation.
And how do you teach your fellow cops to meditate?
You know, I think first you have to meet the police officer where they are, and you have to bring some credibility as a police professional so that we can even have some dialogue. And then we have to bring some science. We talk about neurobiology and how meditation is, in fact, it's training based upon science. And I like to tell police officers that meditation really is nothing more than tactical breathing. You know, on the firing range, for example, or in police training, we'll say, you know, make sure you're breathing, you know, the term tactical breathing or combat breathing. But what we're doing with mindfulness is we're actually teaching them how to do it.
Yeah, I could imagine a little tension between police officer and meditation. What is that reaction you're getting?
The reaction has been very positive in the sense that police officers are suffering. You know, there are so many stressors to be a police officer today. The job is incredibly complicated, and the organizations are complicated, and the legal climate's complicated, and our relationship with our public is complicated. So we know that we exist in this crucible. So we're trying to manage and mitigate chronic stress and acute trauma that just comes with the job. And so far, the police institution doesn't really offer us a whole lot that contributes to our resiliency, that's preventative. And so when I talk to police officers about maybe doing something before they're in a crisis, they listen. I think our traditional approach as warrior police officers is to think that somehow emotions are optional. And what we know about neuroscience is that emotions are going to happen, whether I want them to or not. And if I don't acknowledge and just let them be present, they're likely to create additional stress on my neurobiology, and they're likely to get in the way of my cognitive decision-making.
Okay, so then paint that picture for me, Lieutenant. Give us an example, a typical, choose a tense situation, and then how do you hope that officer will act differently after meditation?
Let's say, you know, a police officer is responding to a domestic violence altercation. We're driving fast, we're riding with sirens, you know, it's sort of game on. And mindfulness teaches us to mitigate the stress response that occurs with that particular activity. So now maybe I'm more self-aware. I'm going to breathe deeply, and I'm going to pay more focused attention right now in this moment while I drive this 2.5-3-ton police vehicle through my community. Now, when I arrive, I'm going to be in a lower stress state, and I'm aware of what I'm feeling. I wait for my partner. We approach the incident together, and we find two parties that have been physically fighting. I'm much more focused and engaged and skillful at dealing with what I'm addressing. I'm capable of listening more clearly and hearing what's happening. I'm not judgmental, like it's very easy to get in policing. So I'm setting aside my judgment of whatever I think happened, of the maybe the morality of what's happened, and I'm just being discerning. And I'm discerning all the facts that are coming in, and I'm receiving more information because maybe I'm more open, I'm more receptive to the situation because I'm less stressed out.
How do you think meditation and mindfulness address this bigger national issue we're dealing with of aggressive policing and use of force?
With regard to the unsatisfactory relationships or the negative relationships between police and their community, I think it's largely driven by the level of suffering behind the badge. So we ask our men and women who are police officers to do incredibly complicated jobs to meet human suffering every single day, to deal with the chronic stressors and the acute trauma of the job. And yet, what we know about the science of neurobiology and psychology is that the landscape that I just described will predictably erode our cognitive and our human capacities, again, our emotional intelligence skill set, to really be effective at the job. So I think mindfulness is one tool that we found that has a relatively large body of evidence behind it to suggest that it has a preventative ability to provide a foundation for police officers to create the kind of resiliency in head, hand, and heart so that they can be more effective on the job. We live in an age where we want to vilify the police officer, or in some cases, we want to vilify the community members, and neither are an appropriate approach. You know, I think we really need to look deeply at the capacity for the police officer to cultivate sustainable compassion and skill to do their job. And what I really want is I want to cultivate an empathic warrior culture within law enforcement that allows us to have the tough conversations and, frankly, that allows a police officer to see someone holding a sign that says, "I can't breathe," and instead of responding with some other kind of defensive statement, it's really an interrogative. It's, "Tell me more about that."
Telling you about an empathic warrior culture for cops, that's Richard Gerling, lieutenant with the Hillsboro Police Department outside of Portland. He's got a grant from the National Institutes of Health to study the effectiveness of meditation for police officers, including how it affects bias and the biochemical markers for stress.